community radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
In the studio with me this afternoon, we've got Nev, the editor from the Brentwood Gazette. Hiya, Nev.
Yeah, you've already met me, though. Yep. Hi, good afternoon.
Yes, I've already... I saw what you've done there. Yep. I saw what you've done there, Nev.
I'm trying to work it into some sort of intro.
Now, you're going to give us a bit of a teaser about what's actually coming out in the Brentwood Gazette tomorrow, aren't you?
Yeah, I'll talk a bit about what's in the paper tomorrow. We've got a... Actually, I mean, last week we talked about TOWIE, didn't we?
Yes, we did,
a big
yeah.
debate.
Yeah.
Held with Visit Essex, who are the tourist board for Essex, about how they were going to market Brentwood.
That's right.
To, you know, outside the realms of Essex and to the rest of the country. Of course, the Brentwood question came up: how do we market Brentwood? Do we ignore TOWIE, or do we make a play on it? You know, I think we should make a play on it, but then, you know, people would disagree with that. Anyway. Rather conveniently, coincidentally, some news came to us this week that may solve the Brentwood legacy problem or issue or whatever.
Oh, really?
So there we go, yeah. So at the moment, the TOWIE haters will say that the only thing Brentwood's known for is TOWIE, fine. I think the solution may have found itself in that the old post office, which is a beautiful building in Brentwood in the High Street.
Stunning, yeah.
Absolutely beautiful building. Someone has set their sights on that. Now, if I told you that this person was going to convert it into a restaurant and cocktail bar.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Not only that, not only does he have one.
Not a tacky one, though.
No. You wait till you... He has not only one, not two, but three Michelin stars.
Really?
Yeah, this is we're talking world-class chef here.
Oh, my word.
Father of Michel Roux Jr., who you'll know from MasterChef.
Yeah, yeah.
That's amazing. Albert Roux wants to open up in
really?
Britain. Yeah. He has... the plans are in. We've got a big interview with him in the paper where he's talked about how much he loves Brentwood, why he wants to open up in the town, why he thinks it's right for this sort of restaurant. And we, you know, as we would do when we do stories like this, we've sort of looked at, well, okay, well, this is a pretty big deal. You know, this guy's got three Michelin stars. It's going to be...
huge.
He says it'll be... He's obviously got to get... The restaurant has to itself win the stars once... Yeah. Once he's got it set up. But it could be Essex's first Michelin star restaurant, which is...
That's amazing. That's
pretty awesome.
In Brentwood,
here we go.
That's so better. This is better.
This is the Brentwood everyone wants. And even to the people who might suggest that, oh, you know, there's not enough for normal people. Well, how are we going to afford to go in there? You know, I think it's still something pretty fundamentally...
Well, it is.
Quite exciting. I mean, let's not forget, it's still next door to Iceland, so it's...
Do you think he'd be popping next door when he runs out of chips?
Could be. No, actually, he did say that he's going to be sourcing his food and not only his food and ingredients locally. So farm shops, you know, prick your ears at this because there's going to be money to be made from this restaurant. But also, actually, you know, there's going to be a number of staff. It's going to be something 180 odd guests. I think they'll serve in a day.
It's going to be big.
And he wants to get staff from the local area as well. So
that's fantastic.
He's, we've got a big interview with him and talking about Brentwood. This is quite interesting, really. That we had a big chat with him. He listed a number of reasons why he thought Brentwood was great, and none of those included TOWIE. So. Perhaps, you know, the brilliance of Brentwood has always shone through.
Did he mention why he originally got the idea to come to Brentwood and do it?
Well, I mean, he's been looking around for locations, I think first and foremost the building itself.
Yeah.
I mean, it'll give it a bit of a spruce up inside and out, obviously.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Which it needs. It needs a bit of a clean.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
But it's a lovely building.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't want to spoil it because there was a lot of detail on in the paper about it. But it's going to be a sort of quite a fundamental change to the High Street, and what follows from that is going to be interesting as well. You know, you sort of think, well, okay, so we've got one Michelin star restaurant or a three star Michelin star chef. Actually, he and his son Michel Roux Jr. He says are going to be there quite regularly, certainly to begin with, to get it all off the ground and stuff. So we're going to have some celebrities in town. We looked down at Padstow actually to see what impact Rick Stein's restaurant had on, you know, what effectively was once a quite a sleepy fishing village.
Yeah.
And now Padstow is known as a great place. It's, you know, flooded with tourists every year. People go down there to enjoy the sun that was already there, to enjoy the quaintness. But now there's great, you know, there's great. I think there's a number of restaurants there now. I think he's got two or three there. I think this is big news for Brentwood.
I think it's huge news.
And as I say, for people who don't like the Towie image associated with the town, and you know, let's be honest, while Towie is going into another series, and I think it's got two on the cards, that won't last forever.
No, it's not going to last forever.
And if that doesn't last forever, you know, arguably, how long will the little kind of Towie shops last? Don't know. But something like this, you know, will, because yeah, someone will take over it, you know, if it gets a good name for itself. So, yeah, it's pretty exciting times for Brentwood. It's obviously subject to approval by the planning board of Brentwood, but all the plans are in.
Well, if they knock this back, they need their head examining.
Well, that is the thing, and actually, one of the most intriguing things about it is if you sort of see these restaurants in London, these big posh restaurants, they're not going to tear the front apart. They're not going to have some big kind of massive windows and a big fascia board with a big flashing sign. It is literally going to be a small little sign that says, I can't remember what the name of the restaurant is, but it's in the paper, the working title anyway. It will just be a nice, neat little sign, and then you go into this grand building.
Yeah.
It's going to be pretty awesome. If it gets through.
Well, fingers crossed.
I would welcome people writing to the Gazette or writing on our website with reasons why they think it's a bad idea. Because you know, maybe I'm being completely naive here, but I think when something like this happens, I can't see any negatives at the moment.
I can't, to be honest with you.
I can't.
Not at all.
But there might be, and I welcome those negative views. Just to see if we can have any.
Now, when we were talking last week about the Towie
bit
in the newspaper, and you said you're probably going to get hate mail and all of it. Did you get any?
We didn't actually.
You
did? Well, we got a couple of letters this week about just generally about it. Not really negative ones. People just sort of saying kind of along the lines of, yeah, Towie's here, and let's live with it. That's the general gist of it.
Yeah.
A couple of clever tweets, but I mean, I get kind of people tweeting sort of bits and pieces at me, and I tend to sort of ignore them.
Yeah.
You know, when people with sort of 50 followers tweet you,
you
I tend to just not reply to them, because then it gets seen by all my followers, and sort of gives them a boost that they wouldn't deserve.
But a couple of
kind of clever tweeters said a couple of things, but you know, I think we had a bit of a laugh with the story anyway, and I think largely, you know, that's the deal with Towie. I think
you can't ignore it.
It doesn't represent life in Brentwood, but it's something that people can kind of laugh along with, and it's here today, gone tomorrow. And the nice thing is, when it is gone, we may well have something that actually keeps Brentwood on the map for the right reasons.
Now, just before we started the conversation, we had a very brief chat, and you said you've got some sad news in the newspaper.
Yeah, we have got some sad news. We've got a big tribute piece to Bobby Green, who is an Ingatestone resident. She was a candidate for the Liberal Democrats, but she was really well known. I mean, really, really well known. A real kind of community stalwart. Did a lot to support Ingatestone. She was an avid tweeter. And in actual fact, tipped us off about, you know, things every now and again. I'd met her, you know, once at a tweet up, and we had a really good chat. And it was one of those occasions when I found out. It was like, oh my god, I'd only been talking to her, you know, it was a few months ago, but it was a real kind of it was a real shock. She's a mum of three, we spoke to her husband. As I say, there's some really touching tribute to her. It was cancer that was the cause. Funnily enough, actually, Bobby was a the interview's, you know, it's quite touching. She was someone who described herself as a winner. She was an avid comper, someone who does enters into all these sort of competitions on the radio, on the TV, in the newspapers, all these things, and I think they'd estimated that she'd won about £100,000 worth of stuff.
Oh my word, really?
Yeah. Her husband was involved in a car crash and didn't have a car. And so she set about entering competitions to win in one, which she did. So she,
oh my word.
So she was quite a character. And as I say, we've got some touching kind of tributes to her in the paper, largely from her husband, looking a bit at the condition as well, which was a difficult one to diagnose for doctors. And I think it came a bit too late, and that's the real tragedy. The family are hoping to raise some awareness actually of the condition. And forgive me, I can't tell you what that is because it's one of those complex ones that I don't have on the tip of my tongue.
That'll be in tomorrow's.
But it'll be in tomorrow's paper. It, yeah. And there's also there's a Facebook group as well that's that we've got a link to on our website. So
okay.
So do follow that up tomorrow.
So Niv, there I was on Sunday washing my van. Now my van it gets washed twice a decade, to be honest with you, if it's much of that. I was cleaning it with a shovel.
Did it have one of those clean me?
Yeah, no, it didn't.
Someone hadn't taken the trouble to actually sort of like that in.
No, they haven't. They hadn't. I think it was only a matter of time, to be honest with you.
Yeah,
if
okay.
they could get, I don't think I could get their hand through the dirt.
Okay.
That's what the problem was. And I'm cleaning it, and all of a sudden a police car drives past me, and then he stops and starts reversing up, and I went, oh, here we go. Here we go. So he said... He didn't have electric windows. He just done that out the window.
Like that. And, I thought he'd done something else for a second.
No. He went, excuse me, sir. So I thought, oh, what have I done? What have I done? I've done something on a Sunday I shouldn't have done. He said, just to tell you, there's been a few attempted break-ins. If you've got a UPVC double glazed door, you need to double lock it. So I said, okay. And I have. He said, because they get in and he said, they do this, they do that. So I said, and this has been going on for donkeys. These double glazed doors aren't, you have to double lock them. So we double lock ours all the time now. And we did do before this. But I'm, in my head, I'm going, and I know it's an automatic assumption to draw, but I'm going, is it because the lights are out? Now, I know we've covered this story before.
Well, we have covered this story before, and it's funny that it keeps coming back. Because, you know, in tomorrow's paper, we've got another two people who are raising concerns. So one guy had a three grand's worth of tools nicked, another guy, a motorbike. I think it was an attempted robbery, that one. But... We have suddenly started getting these sort of phone calls of people saying, well, lights have gone off and we've suddenly, you know, we've never been burgled ever, and suddenly we've had stuff stolen.
I don't know whether we're jumping to this conclusion needlessly, to be honest with you.
I don't know if people are thinking, oh well, the lights are out, therefore that's the cause. But you know, I suppose, you know, if you've never been burgled and then you are burgled, you might think, oh, what's the problem?
Because
what's
changed.
So you know, that's an obvious kind of, you know, conclusion to jump to, but it is, you know, it's funny though, isn't it? It's one would think, you know, call me stupid. Plenty of people do, usually on Twitter. But if you turn the lights out, you're making it easier for people to kind of scurry around and you know, not be sort of seen by people.
Yep.
I mean, I suppose you do draw attention to yourself with a torch if you're walking around. But I suppose my thinking would be, if you're walking around with a torch, you're unlikely to be a burglar. Don't know. But we've got a couple more in the paper this week, and it follows shortly after some more the other week. And it just makes you wonder, really.
It does. Is, well, part of me is going, no, that's just an assumption that I've come to. Because I've been programmed, because the lights are out and I don't feel as safe.
Yeah.
I've just jumped to that conclusion. But the other part of me is going, no, actually, it's dark. What are you talking about, your pillock? It's dark.
It's dark. And it's, you know, it's part of a bigger deal here. Okay, so the council, let's all help the council lower their you know, their greenhouse emissions. Let's help them with their electricity bill, isn't it? You know, we've got to do our bit for the environment. Well, who's helping us with our electricity bills?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Well, the big six certainly aren't. You know, there's lots of little other companies now that people are kind of getting wise about and going and joining up to. But you know, electricity bills energy bills are a big topic at the moment, because people are fed up and paying
totally
through their nose.
Totally.
And here we are, with a, you know, council tax has been frozen, and in the case of Brentwood, it went down by a fraction. You know, it amounted to probably about, I don't know, a quid or a couple of quid in the year. You know, big deal, really. And so we're. we're not really paying any less to the council, not a noticeable amount. In fact, it seems like we're paying more with inflation and everything. And yet the services we seem to be getting back from the various companies and authorities that we're giving all this money to is increasingly getting less. And it just makes you think, you know, everywhere you turn in life, you're getting ripped off from,
yeah, they are. Everyone's
from one place to the next.
Everyone's prodding you with a stick.
If you think about it on a local level, you know, we seem to be paying more in council tax, you know, in relative terms, and yet, you know, we get services being clawed back because the councils can't afford them. And you think, how does this work? How's this fair?
I don't understand.
Everywhere we go, we seem to be paying tax. You pay tax all your life, you pay tax when you die, and you actually get less back as a result. Anyway, I'm sort of getting a bit of a rant, but
it does seem like an uphill struggle, doesn't it?
And it's like the thing with the lights. They've turned all the lights off because we're all trying to be green, but, you know, at the end of the day, we are the losers again because we don't have lights, and we're not realistically going to feel the benefits of the council's reduced energy bill.
Now, their statistics say that the lights being turned off through different parts of the country hasn't increased crime.
Yeah, because they did a survey. I think was it Maldon, Oxford.
I'd like to see these.
Yeah, but, you know, these are figures that we looked at them and there was an argument that there hadn't been a noticeable change. Well, let's give it some time, and anecdotally, it's got worse in Brentwood.
Yeah, it has.
But as I said, it might be because people are putting two and two together and thinking, oh well, it obviously is this, but it does make you wonder.
Well, this particular officer said, tell your neighbours and spread the word and all the rest of it, just to keep your doors double locked, and it makes you feel like a prisoner in your own house. You know, it's just. Crime's not good at the best of times, and all of a sudden you think to yourself, hang on, the lights are going off and now I've got to lock my doors all the time. He actually said, even if you go upstairs just to have a sleep for an afternoon, double lock your door.
It's a funny experience, you know, walking back when there were no lights on. Coming back late on Saturday and also early Sunday morning, we've got the vomit comet or the last train or whatever they call it. And it wasn't me doing any of the vomiting, I can assure the listeners. And it was a very strange experience, you know. Yeah. Once you kind of get out of the sort of the Brentwood station area, you're kind of into the sort of what feels like the wilderness. You're suddenly kind
it
of walking around
like
in this complete darkness.
Like you're down a little country lane.
You're sort of lucky enough if someone sort of Hansel and Gretel-esque leaves their lights on so you can follow a trail home.
They've got hundreds of moths around their house.
So they're doing their bit for the community. Great.
Well, Nev, thank you so much for coming in.
Yeah, pleasure as always.
That's all in the Brentwood Gazette tomorrow. If you want to go and have a look at the website now, brentwoodgazette.co.uk. Also, this conversation is going to be put on the website. Come in and see us next week.
Great stuff. Yeah, we'll do.
Community radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.